Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings. This is Bree Life Radio, and I am your host and most gracious host tonight, Bree. Tonight, I'm so excited because tonight is Freestyle Thursdays. This is the first one that we're ever doing and that we've ever done before. And what we're trying to do tonight is open up the telephone lines and allow the listeners and the callers to be able to call into the show and to discuss any topic that they want to. Each listener will be given 5 minutes to make their point, and I'll have 5 minutes to rebut or to add any vantage points of what I think to based upon what they've said. So if you want to follow Bree Life Radio, you can do so at Bree Life Radio at Facebook, Bree Life Radio at Twitter, and Bree Life Radio at gmail.com. Please send your questions, your concerns, topics that you'd like me to address. And at this time, I would like to start the show off by talking about a subject that was brought to my attention both last night after my show and by a family member, and this morning by a friend of mine. And this topic kind of delves into the area of individuals who don't necessarily support what I'm doing. Well, let me just go into some of the reasons why I decided to do Bree Life Radio. I have changed careers several times in the last 10 years. I did not go to school to become a broadcaster. I did not go to school to become a journalist. I just happen to be a woman that's lived 40-plus years on the earth and has recently, in I would say of the last 4 or 5 years, gone through a really challenging time in my life. Because of those challenges, I feel that I'm equipped, and people who have watched me go through some of my challenges, some of my personal challenges, have said to me, you know, Bree, you really got a book in you, or you really need to do something or create a forum that you can help people that have gone through some similar things or the same things that you are or have gone through. And it's because of these things that I came up with Bree Life Radio. I want to be able to touch the minds and the hearts of people, to give them another perspective, maybe plant a seed to say, wow, I didn't think about that. I didn't think that, you know, maybe this person is going through this or they could possibly be feeling that way. I wanted to also create a forum for people to be able to call in and to give rough and rugged points of view. Also, I want to discuss those who, again, don't support what I'm doing. I just feel that I'm not going to give too much credit or too much attention to naysayers, because I'm sure that no one thought that I could go through as much as I have and be able to do something positive like this. And here's what I say to those who are going through, like the topic that we discussed on Tuesday. For anybody that's going through, all I can tell you is something that I learned, and I've tried to hold on to this perspective when I was going through. As long as you can look up, you can get up. If you just remember that and forget about what people are thinking or being embarrassed, because sometimes you have to reinvent yourself so that you'll be able to move forward. Tap into your talents. If you have a support system, tap into your support systems, your friends, your families that believe in you, and get up and keep pushing through. I'm on the other side of some of the worst years of my life, but I'm here, and I'm talking about it, and I'm sharing those experiences, and I'm listening. Bree Life Radio will, as much as we're going to be talking about some sensitive topics, we're also going to be having fun, and that's what Freestyle Thursdays are all about. So I want my callers and my listeners to call into the number given at the Blog Talk Radio website under Bree Life, which is 424-220-1862. But, again, for all those that really have a problem with me, here's all I can say from you. And those who know me know that I grew up in Brooklyn. I'm sure that anyone that can hear the sound of my voice, I've been told I have a very hard Brooklyn accent, so I'm just going to leave you with this thought. So that's all I have to say. So now we're going to open up the phone lines. And again, the number is 424-220-1862. And we're going to take our first caller. Peace and blessings. You've reached Bree Life Radio. I'm your hostess, Bree. This is Freestyle Thursdays. Who may I have the pleasure of speaking to?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, this is Andrew.
Well, hello, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Well, what are we going to talk about?
Hey.
You said anything, right?
This is Freestyle Thursdays.
Okay, I thought maybe we'll open up the
house. And again, I just want you to remember, we do not use profanity on the show. We do not call anybody out. We use no names. We don't talk about specific websites. If there's a particular topic that is pressing on your heart and mind, you have the platform and the forum here to speak about it without massive criticism, I would say.
So you mean I wouldn't be able to discuss my website?
Absolutely. Well, you can discuss your website, just not the websites of and criticizing websites and things of that nature. We don't do that here at Bree Life Radio.
Oh, I don't do that either. I don't believe in it.
Okay.
I'm not
into
bashing.
What do you want to talk about,
Andrew? Educating. Well, the first thing, let's talk about getting raped by stupidity. Okay? The whole of North America knows that you do not get into cars with strangers. Yet, there are many women that are doing it. And then when they get raped, they're surprised and they expect people to feel sorry for them. I'm a person that feels you are responsible for your own actions. And if you go into a stranger's car and you happen to get raped, you deserve what you got. How do you feel about that?
Well, first of all, I believe that as a parent and an aunt and a godmom, I feel that I have a responsibility to teach my children and my nieces and nephews and my godchildren that no, you are not supposed to get in the car of anyone that you don't know. I do not share your ideology about deserving to be violated because a person makes the wrong decision. You know, we make a lot of mistakes in our life, and just because we make a mistake, that doesn't mean that we deserve for the absolute worst thing that could possibly happen to us to happen. I do not share that vantage point. And I have a problem with that because it's such a horrific thing to happen to anyone. And it happens to both men and women, both children of each gender. That's a horrific thing to happen. And sometimes what happens to the person, for instance, if you're broken down somewhere in a very isolated area and you need help and someone comes along driving, of course, and they try to offer you assistance and you become violated by that individual because you trusted their assistance. You don't even have to get in the car for someone to violate your person. So just being in the immediate space of a predator is not safe, whether the vehicle is moving or not.
Well, I beg to differ with you, because you see, okay, you're missing the accountability. The purpose of getting raped by stupidity is avoid getting raped, not discussing what rights you have not to remain touched. That is not reality. Reality is a rapist doesn't take no for an answer. Therefore, you do not place yourself in compromising positions.
But wonder if you
to deserve.
Wonder if you're walking on the street and someone and a rapist is driving, like you said, and they're trying to get an attention. I mean, we just saw on the news this week how there was a young lady, I think in Long Island, who was able to get away from someone who was trying to grab
pull her into the car.
Car.
Pull it
put
into
them
the
in
car.
Their car.
But
so,
that's totally different than what I'm talking about. We're not talking about being dragged.
But
we're talking about getting into a man's car because the car looks good and it looked like he got money and you want to ride. That's stupidity.
Yes,
I already had this conversation.
That's not a wise thing to do, but just because a person does not make a wise decision and trust someone that they just met and get in a car, that does not mean that they deserve for anything violent or inappropriate to happen to them because they did something really, you know, unwise. I do not agree.
I feel you deserve what you got and you ain't getting no sympathy from me.
Okay, well,
most rapes today
on the fact that you
could
no
be avoided if women would think.
I'm sorry?
Most rapes today, one-third, could have been avoided only if women were thinking.
Okay, well, what about the accountability of the individual who's the predator? Where does the accountability for that individual come into play?
Well, the thing is, they're always going to be rapists. You can't worry about him. You have to worry about yourself.
And they are always going to be
that's the issue women miss.
They are always going to be people that are not going to do or follow their parents' instructions, or, you know, they're going to be people that follow their parent instructions, and they're going to be walking down the street, and, you know, someone's going to snatch them and put them in the car and, God forbid, violate them, or even worse, kill them. You know, there's always going to be those things that happen too. But where is the punishment or the accountability for the individual who does this heinous thing? Where's that, Andrew?
Once again, we are talking about stupidity. We are not talking about being forced.
We're not talking about stupidity. Let's be clear. We're talking about, right now, what I'm talking about is your perspective on usually a young person that would take a chance on someone that they don't know.
Why would you take a chance on someone you don't know? Stop. Why would you do that? Why?
No, bro, this is my show. I don't have to stop. You stop.
Why? Why would you do it? Why would you take a chance on a stranger you don't know? That's stupidity right in itself. I already gave you the story.
It's not wise, but we know.
The West Indians have a saying. If you cannot listen,
that doesn't mean they deserve for heinous things, for violent things to happen to them because they trusted someone. Because here's the thing, there are a lot of charismatic, charming individuals that will tell a person things that they think that individual wants or needs to hear so that they can get the person to become comfortable with them, so that they
you're just contradicting yourself.
No, I'm not contradicting myself. I'm telling you that you're putting every rate that had is it my understanding, your statistics is that a third of the rapes that happen in the United States could have been avoided if person did not make such a, as you quote unquote, a stupid decision to get in the person's car. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. So what about the fact that there are some very charismatic individuals who are predators. And just like, you know, you walk in the street, like, for instance, I'm sure you were listening yesterday. I hope you were listening. If you weren't, we had our second series about internet dating. And the third series about internet dating, we talked about some funny stories last night, but we're going to talk about the flip side of that, that it can be dangerous meeting people online. So you're taking a, you could be, but let's get away from online. You could be walking down the street and you meet someone. Or you could be in a lounge on a Thursday night and you meet someone. And he's very charismatic, and he's talking to you, and you're talking to him, and you're vibing, you're thinking, and you're exchanging phone numbers, and You didn't drive to the lounge, but the person drove to the lounge, and they offer you a ride home, and you take the ride. Did that person deserve to be raped because they took a ride from someone that they met in a lounge? They felt that this person could be, is probably okay. They were talking to this person for several hours. They got in the car. The person took them home. And when they got them home, they raped them. Or they took them, God forbid, to some isolated area and violated them. Did they deserve that?
Yes. Isn't the person still a stranger, Sabrina? Isn't the person, regardless that you only met the guy, and you've been talking for 7 hours, or whatever, and you just met him the first night, isn't he still a stranger? Yes or no?
I am not negating. I'm not challenging the fact that this is a stranger to you. I'm not challenging that. What I'm saying is, who deserves, no one deserves for their person to be violated. No
deserve
one deserves.
Is to bring upon oneself due to cause and effect. Due to the cause that you got into the car with the stranger caused you to get raped. Had you took a taxi home, had you called someone you know, you wouldn't have got raped. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm not challenging anything that you said only up until the point where you start talking about deserve. That's where you lose me.
That's where most women lose, but guess what?
You know what?
When they
they're
going to feel.
I'm never going to come around to your way of thinking. Violence is an awful thing when it happens to an individual, whether it happens to somebody that... Whether it's exercised against you by a stranger or somebody who knows you, okay? It's still a horrible thing to take place. Nobody deserves, unless they were provoking it, unless you're provoking in a fight or something and you get hurt, well, that's the
cause. What about this scenario?
Because
I already discussed this with you,
being violated in a sexual manner is not something that anybody deserves to happen. I'm sorry. I will never.
And guess what? It's because women think like that, that causes them to keep getting raped. As long as they keep that mentality, they're going to keep getting raped. And that's what it boils down to. It's a clear cut. Do not get into cars with strangers. It's a simple process.
Why complicate it
where I have the right not to be touched? I have the right not to be raped. If you rape me, you're wrong. No, you are accountable for what happens to you. No one else.
Okay.
It's the raw truth.
Well, that's your truth, Andrew. I'm sure that there are people who may agree with you, and I'm sure that there are more people that disagree. I'm sure of it.
And if the rapists are the ones raping you and feel you had it coming, why put yourself in the compromising position? Why do it?
Well, who cares about what a predator thinks? With the exception
the women should care. The women should care.
Kind of the fact that when they're in your time and space and you're faced with having to fight them off. But other than that, who cares about the mind of a rapist? I don't.
Well, that's where women make their mistake. A woman should know how a man thinks, so she knows how to deal with him.
Oh, well, now we're going to a very different level, because if men and women really had this communication thing down, divorce wouldn't be 60%. So,
you see all of this
about,
that
you know, women knowing how men think. And because men don't really understand how women think. They can, you know, assume.
But here's a man telling you how men think. And here you are debating it.
If we actually knew how each other thought, we'd be living in a harmonious world.
But we don't.
We know.
We live in a vicious world.
We're not living in a harmonious world. Right, Andrew?
We live in a vicious world.
Exactly.
Therefore, you better start thinking that way.
Okay. Well,
this is what my website is about. I teach, men and women think and communicate with different styles,
Andrew,
and approaches.
Andrew, please tell the callers what your website is all about and how they can find it.
Well, the website is about people who are in pain and need guidance or answers to the questions that they already know the answers to. Many of the times when they need to know whether my man is cheating or is it his baby, they know the answers, but they just want someone to co-sign what they're thinking. So I created a website where members get together. What's unique about it is anyone could express their opinions without being harassed. Because like this one, where most people will start fighting and cussing each other, that is not allowed on my site. And that is whatthehellhappened.spruce.com. It's a relationship website. It's a lot of close people. They're like a family on here. And it's to educate people who don't know better. You and I agreed that common sense is not so common. As Bill Cosby said, it's not a word to the wise is not necessary. It's the stupid ones who need the advice. So I'm trying to educate the stupid ones. Now, you already discussed that, how you could be duped by a man at a bar. He's charming and nice and everything. Yes. And there's a topic on my website, techniques to get the panties off. Men, you always meet their representative at first. They're always different than what they are. Only after you spend four seasons with an individual do you get to know the individual. Therefore, once again, unless you know a person, if he's a stranger, you don't go anywhere by yourself with them. That includes getting into cars. I once had a friend of mine, I'm not going to say what she is, she gets into a car at 2 o'clock in the morning coming from a club with two guys in the car. Are you insane? Do you know how lucky you were? And she said that they were both drinking. If she got raped, it would have been her fault. It would have been her fault. And it was a family member. And I told her, it would have been your fault. You cannot be stupid in this day and age and expect nothing to happen to you.
No, this is a dangerous world that we're living in. This is a very, this is a world where people, misrepresent themselves. Okay? you get the representative more often than you get the actual person. That is true. We can't live in a bubble, though. But we can make wise decisions. We can think before we act. We can think before we speak, too. And like I said, we've talked about this before. I don't have a problem with what you're saying, Andrew, except for the point where you talk about a person deserves something such as that. But again, I do feel delivery is really important when you do want to educate people, because sometimes the rough and raw approach, well, you'll lose your listener.
Well, guess what? When they don't want to listen, they have to feel. And that's the West Indian thing. If you look at the two cultures, if you look at the American culture and you look at the West Indian culture, they both get raped. But really, would you find a West Indian woman getting raped from stupidity? Because a West Indian woman knows you do not get into no stranger's car. They don't do it. They don't. Only Americans do this crap.
Wait a minute, please. Every woman who is of West Indian descent, you're telling me that live in North America, never has had something like that happen to them. Is that what you're saying?
I said,
you know,
if you look
every
at compared to statistics,
woman,
I never said never.
America. You know them personally.
Yeah.
Huh?
With the West Indian women that I've dated, I always find it was a relative that tried to rape them. But rarely did I ever hear it was raped by a stranger.
Did they deserve that?
No.
Okay. Mm. Well, Andrew, I must say that, as usual, you always provide me with cause to pause. I really have to.
Good, because that means I make you think, and that's all I tried to do.
But wait
with
a minute.
People.
First of all, they don't have to listen to me.
They don't.
I think that you do have a point in some areas, but you lose me, as I'm sure you lose some of your listeners, and you may be losing some of my listeners with the perspective that one deserves that because they did something unwise, like getting in the car of a person that they didn't.
Well, let me ask you a question then. What is the definition of deserve?
Well, you just gave us Webster's Dictionary definition.
Well, doesn't the definition fit the scenario?
No.
Why? What is the difference?
Tell
me the difference, Bree. Educate me.
The difference.
If deserve means to receive due to cause and effect, how is this not different?
Well, I'm not speaking from the Webster's Dictionary. I'm speaking as a person, as a woman, and under no circumstances.
In other words, you're speaking from emotion.
Well, we human beings.
Emotion only gets you so far in life.
And be by a lot of things. Emotion, passion, reason, logic, theory.
Well, isn't it the passion and the emotion that causes you to go with this stranger? Which overrides common sense and logic.
Okay, well, that may be so, but you still not getting close.
The definition applies to the scenario.
Okay, hold on a second. I said that may be so, but you're still not going to get me to co-sign on the deserving.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to. But mark my words. If it does occur with someone, they're going to think back upon what was said. And it always starts with the stupid move of getting into a car with a stranger.
Okay.
Let women find that out for themselves. If they can't listen, they gotta feel. I mean, here's a man telling you how other men think. This is not just Andrew thinking, because I got this topic up on the website too. Getting raped by stupidity. And there was a woman, and I said, a judge will let the man go free because the person was inviting. And sure enough, a member posted on the website about a judge that let a rapist go, gave him 2 years probation with no jail time, because the woman was drinking with the man. She goes, she's dressed with no bra, high heels, goes into the woods with the man, even kisses the man in the woods, and cries rape. Stupidity. Stupidity.
Yeah. And you said that there was another topic that you wanted to talk about. Is that what I remember at the beginning of this extended 10 minutes? What was the other topic, Andrew?
I can't remember.
You can't remember? Are you that fired up by this topic that you lost your train of thought?
Yeah, because I really, for the life of me, can't see why women can't understand it.
Oh, so now you're saying that women can't understand. So that clearly states that everybody doesn't share your perspective.
Women don't share it. But guess what? The ones that don't share it is the ones that's been raped.
Oh, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
All the men can see it and the women can't. And that's why the women keep getting raped by the men.
Well, why don't you?
But where are the other listeners? Don't someone want to call in and say something about it?
Well, you know what? Let's see about that. Would you like to hold? And let's see
hold.
Paula to jump in on this topic?
Yeah, I don't want to do all the talking. I said what I had to. It's up to the women now to take heed.
Okay, well,
and like I said, if you don't want to listen, you're going to have
Drew,
to feel.
Andrew, you have to allow me to go to another caller to jump in, okay?
Okay.
So for those who are in earshot of this conversation, please call in to Bree Life Radio, 424-220-1862. At this time, I'm going to jump on another line, get a caller, and see what type of what they want to talk about, or if they want to kind of rebut or co-sign what Andrew is talking about. So let's see. Please hold. Hello, you've reached Bree Life Radio. Peace and blessings. I'm your hostess, Bree. Hello? Hello, you've reached Bree Life Radio.
Hello.
Peace and blessings. You've reached Bree Life Radio. I'm your hostess, Bree.
Hey, Bree. How you doing today?
Is this Mark from Houston, Texas?
Mark from the H, baby.
Okay. Well,
right.
Mark. Have you been listening to Andrew?
Yeah,
or do you have another
topic
you'd like to discuss?
I listen to Andrew, you know. Andrew, he's colorful.
Is Andrew
colorful.
On the line?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Andrew's colorful. Yes, he is. He's colorful. I mean, I'm sure he might not perceive himself as a provocateur, but come on, you said those kind of things to a great segment of the audience is inflammatory. You got to know that it keeps them interest. Now, I don't know. We're trying to grow our listenership over here at Bree Life Radio, so we probably need to get more people to call in. But I tell you, I can't imagine too many women saying, you know what? He's right. He's correct. I just can't imagine that. I mean, I don't know too many dudes is really going to embrace that. That's kind of, I mean, don't you think it's kind of far out? I mean, I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yes. What do you think about that, Andrew? Don't you think that your perspective is just a tad bit severe?
Let me ask you something. Is it rape raw? Is it the action of rape raw?
Raw.
Yeah, raw. R-A-W. Isn't it a raw act?
It's a criminal violent act. It's a violent act. I mean, what do you mean raw violent?
Then
why would
you treat it any other different way? Why would you approach it softly?
Okay, no, it's not about softly. I'm saying rape is like shooting somebody in the head. It's like grand, you know, theft auto. It's like any other crime. It's a crime. So it's not about. It's about. Are victims the reason that they get victimized?
But isn't it
Please
brutal?
Answer that question, because I'm really on. I'm gripping myself for your answer for that question.
I don't understand the question. What's the question?
The question is, victims are responsible for their victimization.
Yes. That's the point here. Absolutely.
So murder victims are responsible for their murder. People that get their house run in by thieves or whatever, burglars, they're responsible for their burglary.
There is different types of victimization. We are talking self-victimization.
Okay.
You're talking getting raped by stupidity is a self-victimization.
Well, no.
You did it to yourself. We are not talking about a little girl being dragged into
yourself,
a car.
If you rape yourself, you take a stick it up your wherever, and then you did it. Okay. But when you tell me somebody else that I didn't ask to touch my body that touched my body, then I got a problem. I didn't ask you to touch me.
Yeah, well, guess what? When a woman goes into a car with a stranger, that's what she's asking.
No, she's asking for a ride.
No, she's not. She's asking for trouble.
She's not asking to be rolled. She's asking for a ride.
She's asking for trouble, and she gets into a car with a stranger. Period.
Okay. She's asking for trouble. All right. Well, I tell you what, since the majority of rapes don't happen the way, don't even happen that way, I'm under the impression that rape is something about a victim of opportunity. I mean, a crime of opportunity and a crime of rage and control. So therefore, a man that is out of control, that sees an opportunity, because you said the woman was stupid, it's still him praying. He's still praying on her.
She put herself in that position to be preyed upon.
Yeah, I know.
What about the victimization of a person who, okay, you meet this person under normal circumstances, not getting in the car. Let's get away from the car thing, okay?
But you can't, because Drew is not talking about that. He's talking clearly about when people get, I keep hearing him talking about. He keeps using the analogy of this car.
Yeah, well, what's up with the car, Andrew?
Okay, I don't have to use the car. Here's another stupid thing. Raymond Kelly, son, in New York City. Woman meets him at a bar.
Okay.
Have a few drinks, and then takes him to her job, her law firm, at night. Who does that? Isn't that stupidity? I don't care if he's famous. If he's the New York City police son, you don't go anywhere with a stranger. Forget the car. You don't go anywhere with a stranger. Period. If you do, you deserve what you get.
All right, Andrew. So I meet this woman online. I go meet her. I'm in a parking lot of a gas station. I go to say hello, give her a hug. She grabs my joint as opposed to my hand. So now I can take liberties with her regardless of what she says. She deserves to get whatever I give her.
Is that what you're saying?
Internet dating is a totally different subject.
No, it's not.
I don't know her.
Therefore, you have to take precautions.
But did you just not hear what he said?
She grabbed my penis, okay? She grabbed it. as opposed to grabbing my hand. Now, at that point, hell, I would have been justified as pushing her into the truck and taking it.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, let me ask y'all a question. Let me ask the both of y'all a question.
No, answer that
How
question.
How often does that scenario happen, according to a woman getting into a car with a stranger?
No.
Answer that. How often does this scenario compare to mine?
I don't think a lot of women are getting in cars with strangers on a regular basis. I think that's like an exception, not a rule.
Yeah, I think that is the exception. And not the rule.
I mean, that's an exception. I don't know a whole lot of women that's getting cars with strangers.
There's always an exception to the rule. Always.
Okay. So the rule is they're not getting cars with strangers.
You still haven't answered the question. Would that woman deserve anything that Mark would do to her as a result of her being very physically aggressive with him by touching him in his private areas?
Yes. Why would you touch someone's private areas if you don't expect it to go further?
Well, the question would be,
answer that question before you go on.
Wait a minute. But remember, it's got to be consensual, meaning that even if I touch you,
did you give her consent to touch you?
No.
All right.
Well, really, I got violated.
So she initiated it?
No, she initiated it, yes.
Okay, then. She got what she deserved.
Yeah, but she didn't want, but she clearly, because I made a statement, so I said, so now it's ready. That's what I told her. I said, we might as well just go and get in the back of the car and finish this. And she's like, I don't want to do that. I just wanted to see what you were working with.
You know, this is the second time I heard that a woman has been that forceful on an internet date. I think I have a caller from Pennsylvania. He called
in
on first show and said the same thing. Let's bring him into the conversation.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Peace and love. You've reached Bree Life Radio. This is Bree.
I just heard you guys touch on a subject that something similar happened to me, and I was quite taken back. And I, at first, I was kind of shocked, and then I was put in a position where I was saying, "What if I did this?" I had a woman who I met on the internet. We went out to dinner, and she started asking me questions about my house. So until she says, because she's been encountering a lot of men who had health issues,
taking advantage.
Who can't maintain an erection. So she asked me, did I have any problem with maintaining an erection? I said, well, there's only one way to find out. And she scooted over next to me and proceeded to show my ass up.
Please, Carla, we don't use profanity on the show. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm sorry. And she proceeded to grope me, and in turn, I became stimulated. So I asked her, did I answer your question? And she said, yes. So after she did that, I asked her, I said, now what if I was to show you up like that? I said, would we have a cop? And at first she didn't reply, she just smiled.
Mm-hmm.
So as I persisted, she said, yes, he would have had a problem. And I said, thank
exactly.
you. And I excused myself from the table, and I made like I was going to the restroom, and I left.
Okay, here's what I say. Here's what I say to both Big C in Pennsylvania and to Mark in Houston, Texas. I'd like to ask, aside from that instance, has there ever been any other dating situations, whether it been generated from the internet or by a chance meeting or someone that you were introduced to, that the first initial meeting was very physically aggressive from the woman's perspective towards
you? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He is. Okay. So, but, let me ask you this question. Do you feel that if you approached the woman and said, "Okay, we're gonna kick this up a notch," and she said, and she pulled away and said, "No, I'm not down," I'm sure that it would have stopped there. You don't feel as though, or let's not even say if it was you, because that's kind of putting you on the spot. Let's say if it was just you saw on the news, and then when they apprehend this predator, and he'll say, "Well, she deserved it because she felt me up. So I raped her." Do you think that she deserved it?
Yes.
I didn't ask you, Andrew.
Yes.
Yes.
I did not ask you, Andrew.
Okay, particularly with men. It's like this in our culture. If a woman initiates and you go through with it, and somehow she initiates the contact, and you respond to her contact, I mean, she's asking for that. So sometimes during that, she gains a conscience or whatever. To me, she gave up her right.
Thank you.
So that you attacked her.
Okay. Can I say something?
Big C. I think Mark from Houston is trying to say something.
I got a question. Okay. So she gave up her right. So my only problem with that is that at any point that somebody wants to say, even, hey, let's say you already have entered, and now she doesn't want to do it anymore. She has the right to terminate it at any point. So
yeah, but guess what?
We can't, listen, we can all sing together, but we all can't speak at the same time.
If she chooses to terminate it at any point, do you continue to go forward with what you need to do until you're pleased?
No, I wouldn't, no.
All right, well, can I interject?
Yes, Andrew.
One thing is wrong with that all three of you missed the point, and I think the other guy gets it. No.
He got in the car.
Does it mean
That's the point, right? He got in the damn car. Oops.
To a rapist. You can say no all you want, but he's still going to rape you. Am I right or wrong?
It's a rapist. You're right. It's a rapist. That's the difference.
Therefore, why place yourself in a compromising position? Now, here it is. True story. Went out on a date with a woman. Asked her to go to the hotel. She goes to the hotel with me. And it wasn't no big hotel. It was one of them come-and-go motels. You pay $21, and if you bring the towels back, you get $3 back.
Oh, my God.
And we was in the room. We started foreplay. She takes off her clothes. I take off my clothes. I'm on top of her. My penis is touching her vagina. I'm going to say it again. Penis touching her vagina. All of a sudden, she says, no, I can't do this. But guess what? Due to the fact that I waited so late in the game, I let you take it. I go, no. I'm not that type of person. She puts on her clothes and she left. I thought about it. How many guys would stop at that point? And the answer is not many.
You're
therefore,
correct.
At that point, she would have deserved what she got. And that wouldn't have been right.
I wouldn't say that she deserved
it. It definitely would have been right. I know you and I feel that way, but legally, that would have been right.
But guess what? She wouldn't have been able to prove it. It would have been my word against hers, and she would have lost.
Yeah, but you know what? The bottom line is, you don't want to put yourself in that position.
Yeah, what about you putting yourself in a position to just, what about you going to the hotel with the person? And, I mean, we do remember many years ago, a famous boxer was in a hotel room with a woman, and what happened to him?
She got what she deserved.
Oh, my God, Andrew. I have really, heard enough.
She deserved, but I'll let y'all marinate on that.
Okay, we'll have to marinate on that. I really, that's oh, my gosh. And
if you're stupid enough to go with a man who's known to brutalize women, you're going to go in his apartment 2 o'clock in the morning, you and him, and don't think nothing's going to happen, you a damn fool. I'm going to leave y'all with that. Have a good night, y'all.
Well, thank you, Andrew.
I do.
You are calling in. We really appreciate your insight, and thanks for calling in. Well, callers.
Yeah.
It's Freestyle Friday. I mean, Freestyle Thursday. I'm so twisted up from Andrew's last statement. I have to say that I cannot believe that anyone could have that perspective. But, you know, we do live in the land of the free, and, you know, this is a little unexpected for me, but I do want to make it very clear, I do not share Andrew's perspective. Yes, we all make mistakes, but we don't deserve to ever be brutalized or unjustly treated because we made a mistake in judgment and trust in someone, because that happens every day, all day long. So, is Big C from Pennsylvania still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
What do you think about Andrew's last comment?
Coming from an athletic background, I've seen just about everything transpire that can transpire between a man and a woman. I either have seen it or either been around it. I see a women as well as men put themselves in precarious predicaments, and sometimes the outcome is not favorable for either party. I had several friends of mine that played on a professional level had on many occasions women, after sleeping with them, come back to say that they was forced in to having sex. And it's like you're on, it's very precarious. You don't.
Well, I still say no means no, whether it's a man approaching a woman or a woman approaching a man.
I agree with that, but just like the caller that said that was off, when you're in the heat of getting with another person, just like he said, he was at that point. Luckily, he was the individual. He was the individual that stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I have known on many, many, many occasions of women who said the same thing to teammates of mine, friends of mine, and not all of them just want to stop.
Wow. Well, here's the thing.
We're not
negating that fact. What I have an issue with,
mm-hmm.
whether it's Andrew or anyone, man or woman, that would have this perspective, is that first of all, if a woman gets in the car of a man that she's not familiar with, that she doesn't know, that she deserves to be violated. That's, in my opinion, dead wrong.
No.
Okay?
No, she doesn't deserve
and,
it.
And I worry about... I'm sorry?
She put herself in harm's way by doing
Well, of course, of course. And like I said, I agree with Andrew's perspective up to the point where he says they deserve whatever happens to them. That's where I have.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Have an issue.
Mark,
are you still there?
Yep.
Okay.
I, you know, to me, I understand about all of the depression and you know what and the compromises and everything, but the reality is this: a man, a woman, anybody, you have a responsibility to have control of yourself. And in the date rape scenarios, which is a little different than the getting the car rape scenarios, but not different in the sense that the person decided somewhere along the line that they didn't want this. Now, is it asking a lot of a person to have or exercise control once they're in the act? That might be asking a lot. But one thing about no is most of us know no. We know what it is. But we decide that
no,
hell no. We say hell no.
Different languages, no,
no
means the same thing.
Well,
how's about
know,
that?
But this whole concept of she put herself in a compromised position, well, okay, you're right, because she put herself in a position where she's got to hope that he is willing to listen to what she has to say. But here's the question. That can happen with your wife. That can happen with your girlfriend. It can happen with any damn body that says they don't want to do it no more. And you can feel, well, hell, we do this all the time. We do it all the time. So now you're saying no? Yeah, she's saying no now. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference if I came up there, I might have decided, damn, I'm going to give a dude. Then I start realizing, well, look, I'm 120 pounds, and this dude 300 pounds. I don't want him on me. I'm scared now. Or he may rip something out that scares the hell out of me. So then what? She's still supposed to go along with it because she went as far as coming up there with you? I mean, it, at a certain point, Andrew's position is crazy only because he is saying that when a woman is in a certain position, she should get what she wants. But dig this. There are guys that's taking it. They won't have the guts to agree with Andrew, but they do agree with Andrew. See, that's the one thing I give Andrew. He's willing to say it. There's a lot of men out
willing
there
willing to say it out loud. Right.
You know what?
Yes.
Athletes. I got a lot of friends that are athletes, pro athletes and college athletes, and they'll tell you
mm-hmm.
they will say, "Hey, she came up here."
We don't curse on Bree Life Radio.
She came up to the room. She danced for us. She was suggestive. So what did she expect?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What you mean what she expect? She expect to have sex with who she agreed to have sex with. And if she ain't agreed to it or she don't want it, then she don't want it. And at any point she don't want it, she don't want it. And fine, even if we don't agree with that, Let's hopefully we'll educate our young men to tell them that if you can't even agree with us, understand that you're putting yourself in harm's way when you keep going.
And I'll tell you about situation. I'll share a situation with you that I witnessed with my own eyes. There were these were middle school kids, eighth graders, and there were about four of them. And it was after school, and there was a young lady who came to visit the apartment of this individual that was in middle school with her. She realized that he lived in the same complex as she did, and she wanted to come and visit and see where he lived. And she entered in the apartment, and she was there for about 5 minutes with these four middle school boys in the age of 13, 14 range. And the mother of one of those boys came home and saw that, okay, first of all, there was multiple kids in the apartment. Then she went to, and this is a friend of mine who told me this story. She went to the bathroom. She came out of the bathroom, and when she came out of the bathroom, the girl was coming out of one of the bedrooms. So she looked at the girl and said, "What the heck are you doing here?" And she said, "Oh, I wanted to see where so-and-so lived." My friend tells the girl, "Get out of here and don't come back unless your mother calls me and she knows where you are, because you're not supposed to come in the apartment or the house of a boy and be in there with multiple boys and there's no parent present." This has to do with how you raise your children. That girl, she didn't think that there was anything wrong with what she did. And, of course, you know, kids will say, "Oh, Mom, you're so old-fashioned." But here's what my friend told her son. That girl was put everybody in the apartment at risk because she could go home and say, "So-and-so touched me in an inappropriate way." Then now you got that girl's mother and father coming to, right, and now it's a whole bunch of problems.
Well, I can tell you about a situation down here in Houston. It's a city right outside of Houston called Cleveland, Texas. And right now, you got 20 young men that are on trial for rape. They're teenagers. Actually, there were one adult man too, but it was mostly teenagers. It was a young girl that consented to be there and do whatever she was doing. You know what I'm saying? And they said, "Okay," but she was younger. She's like 13 years old. The rest of them was 17, 8, 16, 17, whatever. Now, most of us will say, "Well, that's kind of clear, right? It's kind of simple and clear." But the reality is, if you listen to Andrew, she put herself in that position.
She put herself in harm's way.
She put herself in harm's
way. I don't agree. She put not only herself in harm's way, she put those young men.
Now.
I'm sorry?
Those guys are on trial right now.
Exactly.
And
now everybody's life is destroyed because a bunch of people, not just that girl, but those young boys put themselves
in a precarious
position.
Some of the parents, they're upset. they're upset. The parents is on after their life. They're mad. And the sad part about it, what happens is now the parents are mad at the girl, which is a crazy. I'm saying adult women defend their son mad at the girl. And I'm like, wow. I'm looking at this on TV like, this is almost surreal. It's like, whoa. Because at first, it's one thing to say my son didn't do it. But it's another thing to say she was in there what she think was going to happen. I'm like, there's a woman saying this.
Mm-hmm.
A grown woman.
I know. Yeah. It sounds crazy to me. It sounds crazy to me. I would think being a woman, especially having a male child, you would want.
See, I understand defending her son, but I don't understand her attacking the girl. That's what I didn't understand.
I think that everyone that was in that room or in that house exercised poor judgment. All of the weight should not just be on the girl. Yes, the girl, first of all, if you walk in in a room or a house and you see that there's like multiple guys in this house, you should have a sense to feel that this may not be a safe situation. But just because you're present, that does not give the right for anybody to violate you, and God forbid it happens. God forbid it happens. You do not deserve it. No one deserves to be violated. No one deserves to be killed, like in a violent manner, such as it being imposed upon you. I mean, if you're protecting yourself, that's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother discussion. But right now, we're left with what Andrew, like he said, he wanted us to think about this. He wanted us to examine this. And, you know, I really, you know, I did not expect for Freestyle Thursdays to start off with a bang such as this. But, you know, I want to take it to something lighter, something fun. But, you know, here's my public service announcement. You know, if you have a son or daughter who are minors, you should be teaching them restraint and how to make good decisions about who they associate themselves with, how they associate themselves with a person. If you have a son interacting with if he's a teenager and he's interacting with teenager girls, this is the time where puberty starts. Their bodies are changing, their hormones, everything is flying off the hook, and you need to be talking to your children. Parents need to be talking to their children, because when they don't, when they're not in their ear enough, when they're not monitoring, you know, where they are and who they're interacting with, things like this tend to get out of control. No, we cannot have the leash on the kids and know where they are every second of the day and who they're talking about, who they're talking to, and what they're talking about. But we can do the best that we can, and you know, that's my criticism, that there are some parents that are not doing that enough. So that's why things like what we were just discussing tend to get out of control.
Yeah. I like to add, I used to run a program that was for adjudicated youth, and I used to run a Saturday workshop with males as well as females, with discussing proper what is a healthy relationship, because males as well as females, the vast majority of these young people, and sadly enough, adults also, they don't have a clue as to what is a healthy relationship other than what they view in the media. And what I found out in these workshops, a lot of the males, because if they say hello to a female and then she smiles back to them,
mm-hmm.
They were under an illusion that this woman wants to this girl wants to get with.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. And here to just take this a step further, a few years ago, I had an idea about a program that I really wanted to institute in the middle schools. More specifically so because this is the time of life where, you know, they're really starting to stretch the boundaries of independence and being able to express themselves through the clothes they wear, the hairstyles they want to have, how they communicate, more importantly. I wanted to do it at the middle school level. And I was met with some resistance through the Board of Education because they felt that culturally it would have been too invasive because, especially in New York, as we know, this is the melting pot. So there are a multitude of ethnicities in our public school. So it might have been a little invasive and intrusive upon people's cultural backgrounds. But it's still an idea that I want to pursue, you know, outside of the school, but definitely with the middle school children, because I think it's important. Here's something that I'd like to discuss.
Okay.
When you talk about dealing with children, what happened to the old-fashioned extracurricular activities that, thank God, my mother, God bless her, you know, made sure that I was a part of, so it aided me in my awareness of the environment, religion. It helped me develop social skills, like the brownies and the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts. Where are they? Where are these extracurricular activities for these children that in cities such as, you know, Philadelphia and Houston, Texas, and New York City? I hardly ever hear, unless you live out in the suburbs, in the outer areas of the inner city, you never really hear. And I grew up in Brooklyn, Crown Heights, baby. Stand up, you know. But we had extracurricular activities through our churches.
I can give you one answer what happened to that. Funding.
I'm sorry?
Funding.
Well, I was going to say that, too. That's part of it. That's part of it. It's funding is part. See, this is an area for me. I work with youth, you know, and in social services for the last 15 years. And for me, I've watched a lot of. You got to take. It's funding is a big part of it, but it's not just funding. It's the fact that I think we grew up in a time where, and I still go to my mom's block in Chicago because I'm originally from Chicago, and my mom still lives on the same block that I grew up on, and most of the people that live there in those houses, the parents are still there. If they're alive, they're still there. So what I found is that we are much more transient. Because most people can tell you they've moved more than five times in their adult life. And if you have kids, I mean, they're moving too. And so it's very common not to know. You got to remember, a lot of times extracurricular and after-school activities have a lot to do with the community, so to speak. And when you got kids that are bused in, that don't go to school in certain areas anymore as well, the relationships are totally different. And the financing of it is the funds are definitely an issue, but even with funds, kids are not developing the same type of relationships that they used to develop anymore.
Here's the thing, and I don't mean to cut you off, Mark, but here's the thing. You know, not to just leave it up to the funding of the Board of Education's and major cities, but what about our churches?
Again,
you know, if you, especially in the African American community, or
listen,
in communities where there are people of color, you know,
you
can go on every three blocks. There's a church.
Yeah, but
I think
what they are showing is that church attendance is going down. It's down. It's not what it used to be, number one. Number two, again, people are moving further away from various church bases. And when you have mega churches starting to become more attractive to a lot of people, it becomes more insensitive. You're less likely to closely fellowship with each other. And the old church scenario where it used to be really community-based, people are moving away from the area. Some people even go to church in areas they don't even live near. And it's a lot of that. A lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, anyway, that's just one idea. You know?
Well, see, you also have to look at it. Our society, you have to look at it. Our cultural society has changed vastly over the last 30 years. People are more susceptible to move in different areas that were not available to us, whether it be financially or whatever. So, and then on top of that, inside our community, the drug epidemic came along.
Yeah.
And so a lot of our cultural structure is basically non-existent, whereas though it was 30 years ago.
Go ahead. I definitely kind of agree with that. I kind of agree with what Big C is saying, because but it was kind of weird though, because when I go back and do from a historical standpoint, you're right, drugs were, but alcohol was a big part. I think the bigger part was that we did not. Being from Chicago, and I think about it, when you were big from a big city, a lot of people in small towns would think we were really different. We were very much like them because our blocks and our small little four-block area was our town. It was part of the city of Chicago I never saw. I don't even know they existed. You know what I'm saying? And same thing, I can't tell you, if you grew up in Brooklyn, where you grew up, it was the Bronx. You know nothing about the damn Bronx unless you had a cousin or something that talked about it every once in a while went to see. So your neighborhood was your little town, and everybody did everything right there, and you saw kids go from kindergarten to 12th grade. You don't see that no more.
Exactly.
Well, I do have to jump in on what Mark from Houston just said about if you grew up in Brooklyn, you knew nothing about the Bronx unless you had a family member that lived there. That's not necessarily so, because, you know, if you grew up in the five boroughs, or let's not even count all the boroughs. Let's say the three major ones, which was Brooklyn, Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the four major ones, Brooklyn, Manhattan, Bronx, and Queens. You know, we do have public transportation, and kids would get on the train and go and visit people from different boroughs. So, you know, no one from Brooklyn was, you know, like, oh, we can only stay in Brooklyn. We can't go uptown, or we can't go to the Bronx. Once we went to high school, that's when we had the opportunity to really meet and interact with kids from different boroughs, because we went to high schools. I went to high school in Manhattan. Even though I grew up in Brooklyn, I went to high school in Manhattan. But here's another thing. As a kid, I spent a lot of time in Queens because most of my cousins lived in Queens. They lived in St. Albans, Cambria Heights, Springfield Gardens. So I'd be out there on the weekend.
You were the exception.
No, I wasn't the exception. I wish Chris from New York was calling in, because he would tell you that is more the rule for people who live in New York. That is more the rule for people who live in New York City. kids that live in New York City. They know it's not. It's not the average kid. The average kid does not stay in their neighborhood. They venture out,
okay.
And usually the thing
okay.
that causes them to venture out is going to school. And then also, I want you to understand the dynamic about Brooklyn. I don't know if either one of you have ever been to Brooklyn, but there are so many neighborhoods. There are so many neighborhoods within Brooklyn. See, once you're like
right.
in middle school, that's when you start venturing out to the different neighborhoods. Now, once you go out of the neighborhood, now you want to get on the train and you want to go to Manhattan. You want to go to Queens. You want to go to the Bronx. You're doing different things once you go to high school.
I agree with you that New York is different, but I don't go back to Chicago, which next to New York has the probably most robust rapid transit system when it comes to rail as well as buses.
Yeah.
It wasn't so much that we did not – that the west side – I'm going to tell you, the west side of Chicago was like another world to us. It wasn't because we couldn't travel over there, but the reality was this. When we looked at our neighborhood, we were playing softball, baseball, basketball on a daily basis. I'm talking about on a daily basis. I'm talking about at least once in a while you go somewhere else. When you come home from school, you're back in your neighborhood. And that's when you socialize, in your neighborhood. It wasn't so much that you might
yeah.
have went somewhere else, but the majority of your time was spent on your block, in your square little
well,
area.
I was really speaking to, I can't remember which one of you said something about, you know, people from New York, people from Brooklyn really, like, stayed in the neighborhood because, no, that's not our experience. That wasn't my experience growing up. And that wasn't all my friends from Crown Heights experience. You know,
we used to go outside of the
neighborhood because even though,
perfect.
Like, for instance, we went to a middle school that was like one of the three middle schools for the Crown Heights neighborhood. But there were children that lived outside. Some of the students didn't live in Crown Heights. They lived outside of Crown Heights, which is the borderline areas of Crown Heights is East New York.
Mm-hmm.
East Flatbush, Flatbush, Brownsville, those were the surrounding neighborhoods of Crown Heights, but you had some students that lived in those outer neighborhoods. So once you made
right.
friends with them, you had cause to go outside of Crown Heights.
Right, but when you get home from school, who's on the block? Was there people on the block?
What do you mean, was there people on the block? Of course there's people on the block.
Were there people on the block?
Of course.
Okay, so my point is that there's only so many hours of daylight during the day. And my point was that you come home from school, you drop your backpack or whatever you do, and especially if mommy right there at the time, and you go run right back outside. You probably didn't go run on a train. Maybe you did. But I'm just saying, because the block is full of people hanging on the corner and hanging outside of this bodega or whatever the case may be. They're hanging out with the people that they hang out with. My point, I understand what you're saying, y'all. You all ventured out beyond. When you look at the percentage of venturing out you did versus hanging around the block and the people in the neighborhood, it's much different than it is now. The only thing is that we have much more transit society where we move,
yes,
we don't stay around a whole lot. That's all I was saying.
Okay. So back to my point. Where are all of the programs that used to exist for people in our age group? What's happening where, you know, okay, we can't, like I said, we can't place everything on the shoulders of the Board of Education because we know that major cities have no resources.
But
you know what? What about the community at large? We have to take some kind of responsibility for our own communities and try to collectively start developing things for these kids to do. You gotta have
our neighbors, Bree. We don't know our neighbors no more. We don't know our neighbors no damn. We used to know our neighbors. We don't know our neighbors. They don't even live there long enough for us to know them half the time. That's my point. They're moving. A lot of black people don't own homes. So if you're not owning homes, you're renting. And if you're renting, how many people are really still in the same place that they used to anymore? They're moving. So you, I don't even know that Bree is my neighbor half the daggone time. I just don't know. And see, that's what I'm trying to tell you. We don't know each other anymore. Because, you know, we always talk about longing for the days when Miss Annie would see Bree and Bree doing what she's supposed to do and Miss Annie will correct us. We don't know that woman right now.
Okay.
We don't know.
Again, I have to remind my callers there's no profanity on Bree Life Radio. Yes,
damn.
You're right. You're right. Because here's the thing. I never forget a very good friend of mine that I grew up with. Now, anybody who knows me knows my mom, and they know my mom was very, very strict. And only on special occasions would they really see me have the light of day on me, with the exception of going to school and coming back home. And one day I'm on my way home from school with a very good friend of mine that used to live on Union Street, and we're walking, and one of my other friends that I grew up with, she's a little perturbed at one of the guys that live in the neighborhood, and they're kind of arguing with one another, and they're not using such nice language. So then when she sees me and my friend, she starts walking with us, but she's using profanity. And I'm telling her, look, you gotta calm that down, because if my mother hears from anybody that Bree was walking down the street and there was bad language in her immediate area, I don't even have to be the one using the language. I was going to get it, you know? So, therefore, I would be very careful with how I walked through the street, because like you said, we don't know our neighbors. But everybody knew me because they knew my brothers, they knew my mom. I had other family members that lived in the neighborhood, and the neighborhood was very different. I remember once I grew up, moved away, and came back, the neighborhood that seemed so big to me was small. But it wasn't small to me in the sense that I'm bigger looking at the neighborhood. It seemed small to me because no one seemed familiar anymore. And it's like you said, we've lost the connection to one another, which translates in how we interact with one another, how our children watch us interact with one another. And here is an expression my mother has always used. You become what you see. You become what you see. So what do you think about that, Big C?
Well, okay, I'm going to give you a real-life example on this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Philadelphia. I have lived in every part of Philadelphia, so I can tell you a little bit about every part, period. I was living in an affluent section of Philadelphia. I had a chance to acquire a property, which was owned by a relative, in a not-so-affluent section.
Oh, can we hold on? I believe Chris from New York is calling in. Hold on, please.
I just want to listen in for a minute. Good night to everybody.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I was in this section, and like when you were saying what happened to the programs, what happened to the community involvement, what happened to everyone taking a hand in developing and running some programs or things of that nature in our neighborhoods. I set out and I set up a little league football team,
mm-hmm.
Which I had sponsored. It went on for several years. And what I was getting in return was what kind of shocked me was a lot of resentment.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like I became alienated from the neighborhood to the
Why?
Point where,
how do you think that was?
Excuse me?
Why do you think that was?
Because I think with the adults that was there, they viewed me as I was an individual that was doing something with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I went to work. I came home. When I left out to go to work, they were sitting on the steps. When I came home from work, they were sitting on the steps. So
mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm saying, our inner city neighborhoods, in a way, have driven out positive people. Our neighborhoods don't embrace individuals who wish to do things in a neighborhood, who wish to live in our neighborhoods. I wind up having to leave that house because my car was constantly getting vandalized to the point where, though, a little kid wrote his name in the back of my minivan with a rock, and he misspelled his name. And when I approached the parent about it, the parent wanted to fight me. So it started a chain reaction, as people thought I was better than them, and they had like an attitude with me. How you come around here saying this and saying that and this and this and that or whatever? I'm not saying anything. You know, our neighborhoods, back before we were able to leave our neighborhoods, back with a black community, I'm saying, per se, when all we had were our neighborhoods, we had doctors, we had policemen, we had lawyers and all living all within our communities, all going to the same church. And our communities was different. Now that we're able, these individuals, after they become educated, after they become whatever, they tend to gravitate out of the neighborhoods because the ones that are there make it very difficult for them to exist there. So between that and the funding for these social programs and things of that nature, our neighborhoods started to decline. Then you add on top of it the drug portion. So that's...
But what do you think... What would you think that the best methods of formulating a program today, living where you live in your community, getting people involved to create some after school programs for these kids that need something to do, they need something to preoccupy their time. You know, I have nieces and nephews, and when I was living out of New York, I had my nieces and nephews come and visit me. And all of the kids wanted to be inside playing PlayStation and the Xbox. And I, for a whole weekend, I refused to allow them to look at more than 3 hours of television a day. And I made them go outside and play. But I taught them some of the games that we used to play as kids. Like, for instance, we used to play jacks. The girls used to play jacks and pick up sticks. Boys used to play Skelly in the street and stickball. But I don't want to get too far away from what I'm trying to ask you. What do you think needs to happen with people that live in the community? How do we get people engaged to say, okay, we need to formulate some ideas and raise some funding so that we can create something that these kids can do? Because, as you know, there aren't a whole lot of YMCAs throughout, you know, inner city neighborhoods. There aren't that many boys' clubs. So what else is there to do? What else can we create for young people to do to keep them busy, to keep them socialized, and get them away from gaming systems, the computer, the texting? What do we do?
Well, I think it's going to – I have seen several programs. I have seen several models that work, but because of either staffing or funding or really skilled or committed individuals, they don't seem to work. But I think it's going to take a collective effort. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be one entity. It's going to have to be something that will combine school contacts and churches, and to get the local politicians in the area involved. It's going to take a collective effort. When people are often saying, you know, they're working with kids, you can work with kids till you're blue in the face. But if the home environment is not one that is conducive to reinforce that what the kid is exposed to when they're with that positive entity, it's going for nil. So I'm trying to think of a term, right? But it's something you should say. It's going in a circle. You're not progressing. You have to holistically look at this from a family point of view.
That's what Bree Life Radio is about. We're definitely about the holistic perspective on how we get the message across. They're unlike Andrew, who, again, I respect that, you know, he has this very raw point of view of how he gets a message across. And he thinks if the cause and effect is violent or if it's abrasive, then you have to deal with it from that perspective. I don't agree with that, especially when we're talking about children. I agree. I think that holistically, you have to keep them engaged. You can't expect a child to listen to you when they feel as though they're being constantly they're constantly being badgered, that you will lose them. It'll be like a deer in the headlights. You have to find some way of communicating with them other than just telling them, well, I'm this and I'm that, and, you know, you got to do what I say, else I'm going to knock you out. That's not how I think you get across to children. I don't think you also knock adults over the head the same way. If you want to keep people engaged, you have to find a way to engage people where they say, well, you know what, maybe he or she has a point of view that's worth thinking about, you know, taking into consideration. So.
I do know this in working with kids, because I work with juveniles, then I gravitated to working with the adults and then back to the whole family. But kids love and need structure.
Yes, they do.
I have been with kids that were gun toters. I used to have workshops where the kids came to the workshop in cars that were more expensive than mine, and they didn't even have a license. These were gun toters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they crave structure. Kids are kids, regardless of where they are in life, whether they're out there on the corners, whether they are at home or whatever. Kids crave structure. You give them structure, and you show them that you sincerely care in their welfare, and you show them respect. You would get their attention.
Yes, that I do agree. So, Big C, what type of program, if, let's just say if I gave you $500,000, wouldn't even really need that much. What do you think, what type of program would you like to create for young men and women? I have an idea of teaching them social skills. Because the way I see young people communicate, you sometimes have to wonder about what's going on at home. I mean, I can see what's going on in the school, but you have to wonder, you know. So what would you do?
First of all, what age group are you talking about? Give me something.
Well, let's say 6 through 18.
No. You can't.
That's too broad. Well, okay, let's say elementary school children. What would you do for elementary school children?
Elementary school.
That's 6 to 11.
Okay, let's say up until like 14, 15 from that age group.
Okay.
Yeah, I would kind of put together a program dealing mostly with education and behavior issues.
Mm-hmm.
And with so a mixture of socialization, because our kids aren't really that social. They're only social with those individuals that they're in contact with on a daily basis, that live above them, live with them, or live across the street from them.
Mm-hmm.
You ever notice when you take a group of kids to an amusement park and they encounter another group of kids, you ever notice their reactions? I'm asking that of Bree.
Well, no, I can't say, because unfortunately I don't really like amusement parks.
I would set up a curriculum that had some schooling, some talk of career exploration, some socialization.
What about summer camp? You know, when I was from 6 to 14, my mother sent me to camp every summer. I'd be gone for like the right after school ended in June, mm-hmm. right before my birthday, and then maybe I come back for a week, and then I'd be gone again for another
mm-hmm.
2 or 3 weeks. You know, I think the summer camp experience has somehow been has kind of disappeared
that's because of a lot of stuff that our society has changed, where it's such summer camps. But for myself, I'd be scared to send my kid to a summer camp.
Why?
To a summer sleepover camp.
Why?
Nah. Because you don't have staffing, committed, trained staffing at these. And see, you gotta have committed, skilled individuals in positions as part of the structure of these type of venues. When you don't have those, you allow it. It just allows the
Here's what I say to that. I went to a Christian based summer camp from the age of 6 to the age of 14 for one half of the summer, and the other half of the summer I went to a popular summer camp that was run out of New York, where you can either go to people's homes, and of course they were investigated before they had this before they were allowed to be able to host inner city child, or the same organization had a summer camp facility upstate New York. And I got to tell you, some of my most fondest memories of being a kid was going away to camp. You know, I learned a lot about archery. I was very good with, you know, participating in archery. I learned how to swim at summer camp. The arts and crafts in me kind of developed, not just at home with my mom, but, you know, at summer camp. And the camp that I went to was fully staffed with skilled individuals, and not only just, you know, teenagers that wanted to earn money, for the summer being a counselor. They had trained social workers and people in the areas of psychology and child development, educators that were off for the summer that worked at the summer camps. So I think it's a level of just trying to find the right camp for your child or your children. Got to do some research.
Well,
that's what my mom did.
Yeah, but
tried to keep me busy.
You know, like you said, when I was younger and that camp age, you had all that available to you at a very nominal cost. It's not free. That's why I said I go back to the funding of these different programs now, because a lot of the funding that would normally spend on those type of programs now are going for incarceration and court system and for police over man hours and battling with crime. So a lot of those dollars
Big C, I think we have another caller. Is that Mark from Houston?
Yes, Mark from Houston.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I'm just listening to y'all. I mean, I don't know. I think that, you know, I listened to what Big C has said about trusting his kids there, but just looking at the Sandusky and the rest of this other stuff, I think there's been a lot of stuff where stuff was happening when we was kids at these camps. They always have been. I mean, the whole trust of adults with the kids, I guess, has been going on. And you get so many kids coming forth our age now saying, hey, you know, coach so-and-so or the camp counselor so-and-so did X, Y, and Z. So, I mean, I don't know. At some point, you got to trust what you put in your children, and that it's kind of like it's a thing that I used to do with families that were in child protection. I used to work with families that were in child protection, and they were trying to regain, not lose, have their rights terminated. And so various things was happening, and I would work with them with their kids on good touch, bad touch. And it's like when you talk to your kids about certain things, and that helps them a little bit. But even if you do all of that, when a kid gains the trust of an adult, that's such a powerful bond.
That's a real hard one.
It's a hard one to deal with. So when kids get manipulated, a lot of times, even when you've done that training, what you fail to realize is the strength of the bond. The strength of the bond can get the kid to compromise. You know what I'm saying? Just because they trust this person. You know, they look up to them. And people that manipulate a child's trust, they're good at what they do. As sinister as it is, they're good at what they do. They understand the need that the kid has. So the summer camp thing, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that was going on at the camps, even when we were going to camp. Even when Bree was becoming, you know, the archer of the year. You were shooting apples off the post. You know, it was stuff right on there. I mean, you know, and a lot of times we grew up in a culture where folks didn't talk. You kept it to yourself because you were ashamed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So You know, so, I mean, and I think this has been going on for a long time. So I don't know if that could be a good reason not to send your kids somewhere, per se. I understand the apprehension, you know, but the reality is, you know, I think one of the bigger problems with the camps is they cost too daggone much, half of them. Number one, there's not enough community-based programs. There are a lot of kids, like I said, they're moving all the time. Kids don't even know their neighbors. We live in transit communities now where people are, especially if you're renting. Now, if you happen to live into a subdivision or a community where they're owners, you got a better chance. There's more at stake. The owner's going to probably live there for a little longer in most cases. But most of the majority of the community is renting, and we used to have places where we were renting for 10, 20 years. You don't have that no more. You don't have that no more. People are moving around. So the structure of the community has changed. The relationships in the community have changed. And even when you talk about camps, because even when you had camps, the majority of the camps came from people from that community. Then we go to other places and we find other people from other communities were there that had a consolidated group. And that's how you met people at camp, because I went to camp. Every summer I went to camp, you know, because our church had church sponsored the camp. And we would go to Wisconsin. I lived in Chicago. We would go up to Green Lake, Wisconsin, to the camp at Green Lake. I mean, you know, and it was, I thought I fell in love once with this little girl at camp. And it was messed up because I could never see her again because I don't know how to get in touch with her. I don't even know her name, to be honest now, but I'm just saying. That's the kind of stuff happens. You had really beautiful relationships and people you met at these camps. But they cost a lot of money now. And the churches and the community used to sponsor you to go a lot of times or pay whatever. But, you know, the community don't even know each other no more. So, I don't know. I think it's just got a lot to do with, like C was talking about, the whole concept of the communities have changed, you know, and people with these communities changing and people not knowing, it's just a different place. It's a different world. It's a different world. Yeah. The level of trust is not there. Because usually our trust is based upon building a relationship. When you do not know who your neighbor is, how do you trust your neighbor? And that's what he said. We don't know who our neighbor is no more. Who is the neighbor? Who's the neighbor? Who is your neighbor? And you don't know who your neighbor is.
Well, this has been a very interesting first Freestyle Thursdays. I want to thank all of my listeners. I want to thank the callers, Big C from Pennsylvania. I want to thank Mark from Houston, Texas. I want to thank Andrew for calling in with his perspective, albeit controversial. That's what Bree Life Radio is about. We give people an opportunity to discuss issues that are near and dear to their heart, that they feel passionate about. We try to provide a forum for these discussions to take place without judgment, but a level of passion. Because we don't always have to agree with one another, but respect is very necessary. I just want to close out the show with saying I want to thank all of my listeners. I want to thank my supporters. Follow us on BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com, at Facebook, and at Twitter. Always in closing, I wish you peace and love.